Oh my goodness, he prayed for a boldness. He has no idea what he just let loose. I am speaking today, but it's okay. I have a license. I got it from two proof of purchase seals and a Wheaties box, so it'll do. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this. Paul said, I fear lest you be lured away the way Eve was deceived by the enemy from the simplicity which is found in Christ Jesus. I love this word because the kingdom is set up in such a way that if you are 7 years old, you can understand the kingdom. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. There's a simplicity in Jesus that I think the church needs to get back to. The world needs to understand. It's not as complex as a lot of people make it. And we really need to settle in on something. Now, I have a deep subject today. But I think you're prepared for it. I think you're ready for it. Here's the word I have for you today. God loves you. Yeah, that's what I thought the response would be. It's okay. The kingdom of God is simple. The principles of God are simple, but that's not the same as shallow. I will tell you, you will never get past the depth of knowing God's love for you. No matter how far you go in this, and I've been in this a lot longer than some of you have been on the planet. And the more I go, the more I realize the simpler things are. Doesn't make them easy. Forgiveness is a simple concept. Can I get a witness? You've been forgiven $1 billion, forgive the $5 debt. That's simple. But is it easy? Unconditional love is simple. Love people as they are. Let Jesus do the transforming. That's simple, but it's not easy. Knowing God's love is simple, but it doesn't make it shallow. You will never get past knowing God's love for you. I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. I want to read to you a simple verse, starting in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. This is what I want to ask you. Do you know and believe God's love for you? I have found that it is possible for you to know the Word of God, for you to know in your head God loves you, but not to know God loves you. There is a man who goes in this carnival, and you can ask him any verse in the entire Bible. Malachi 2:1, he can quote it. Leviticus 16:3, he can quote it. He knows the entire Bible, and yet he's not saved. It is possible to know a thing, but not know a thing. How can you read the whole Word of God and still be lost? It is possible to know and not believe. Now, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I want you to hear my heart in this knowing versus believing. When we had the pandemic, I was asked to go pray for an individual from our church. And I went to their house. They were behind 2-pane window glass with a shield and a mask. And they were quoting to me, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Do you know and believe God's love for you? Our maturity is not based on your gifts and your talents. You might be able to prophesy, you might be able to bring healing, but that is not how we determine maturity in the kingdom of God. Maturity in the kingdom of God will always be connected to God's love. He told the Corinthian church, Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church, and he said, you guys don't come short of any of the gifts. You flow in all the gifts. And then a few chapters later, he says, but are you not yet carnal? For there's envying and strife among you. We follow gifts all over the place. And I've had the honor or the dishonor, however you look at it, of seeing behind the curtains of a lot of people who have tremendous giftings, but they have no actual love for the body of Christ. It's all about them. Knowing and believing God's love for you is essential to our Christian walk. It's not going to get any deeper than that. So is it okay if I give you some signs that you're walking in love? I don't know why I asked. I was going to do it anyway, but makes me feel courageous. You know, we can say we know God's love, but there are some signs, and I'm just going to pick a few that we're walking in the love of God. Because you can't give, beloved, what you don't have. Right? I need a shovel. Do you have one? Right here, right now? So you can't give me one, even though you would like to. Why? Because you can't give what you don't have. The world is in desperate need of God's love. Not the kind of love that I see in many churches, but God's actual love. Now, I am going to challenge you today, and I'm not going to apologize for it. It is what God put me on this planet to do. I've known for a long, long time He placed me here to challenge, to believe for positive change, and to be your cheerleader. Nobody will cheer you on better than me. I believe in you. God believes in you. But I'm going to challenge you because we need to be challenged. We need, if the Word of God is not challenging you, you're not reading it. Love is a litmus test for maturity. Here are some signs. Matthew 18. When you get upset at someone, when you have a fallout with someone, when someone has sinned against you, everybody wants to do the Matthew 18 principle. Go to that person and between you and them alone, share your hurt. Don't be gossipers. Go to that person and give them a chance to repent. But let me tell you what I've found. I have found that many people in the body of Christ have taken Matthew 18 and they want to go beat somebody over the head of how they were right. But let me tell you, when you know love is pushing the agenda. The Matthew 18 principle is actually about restoration. The goal, you can know your heart is right when the goal is restoration, not being right. You can be right and sleep on the couch. Because here's the thing, beloved. We're all going to be wrong at one time or another. Let me challenge you. There's basically three ideas for the tribulation. Jesus is going to come back pre-trib, mid-trib, in the middle of it, or at the end of it. Can I tell you, when we get to heaven, two-thirds of them are going to be wrong. Why do we separate from one another over, we don't see things eye to eye? Does anybody here see Christianity different than when they first got started? Does anybody here believe something today they didn't believe 2 years ago? Duh, it's a good thing we can't separate from ourselves. We'd be schizophrenic. The goal is for love to push the agenda that restoration is what you want, not proving yourself right. What if we stop trying to make people believe like we believe about our particular political stand? Yeah, I got real quiet. What if you loved Jesus so much that you could invite people to your home in your life group who are not of the political persuasion you are, and you just loved them? What if you let Jesus do the transforming? Oh, that's a novel idea. I got a novel idea for it. What if God was smart? What if we actually believed God was brilliant? And that we let Him transform lives and us just love Him like Jesus. Yeah, amen. It's weak, and I get it. It'll get better. I'm going to challenge us. We should not let these things separate the body of Christ. If you were drowning, you don't care what life jacket the color is. You don't care what brand the life jacket is. What if we just believed that God was smart and He put us on this planet, put us at this job, put us in this community for us to just love people like Jesus? Here's another sign you're walking in God's love. According to Galatians 5:6, you have great faith. He says, faith which worketh by love. Love is the motivating factor of our faith. That we love people enough to walk in faith and believe God for their healing, to believe God for their salvation, to believe God to provide when He said He would provide. Can I tell you, I've been to Uganda, I've been to Mexico, Saltillo, Mexico, I've been all over. And when you go to third world countries, you find out something really, really quick. You don't have anything to offer them except Jesus. And Jesus is enough. I'm all for feeding people. We go over and we feed them so we can bring them in, so we can share the gospel. But a week later, where is that food? It's gone. And you realize really quickly, all I have to offer these individuals is God and a faith in a God that actually loves them, cares for them, and will provide for them. Because you and I, the need is bigger than you and I can meet. Faith works by love. It is the motivating factor. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. If you're walking in love, you can boast on others and think about others and not just yourself. How are we doing at that? Are we concerned about our neighbor? Are we concerned about the person sitting to the right and the left of us in the church? Or are we really concerned about just us and getting what we want? And God being our butler instead of our buckler. You can always know when people have matured in God's love. They don't have any issue at all bragging on somebody else being better than them. You need to go to Dustin. He's better at that than I am. Man, I feel for y'all because you didn't get to hear Dustin during the pre-service, but he gave a great word about looking at the Father and just following the Father like his kids follow him. There's no greater word than just looking to God, following God, being an actual follower of Jesus Christ. My son, before he passed, he used to ask his mom, "Where's Dad?" That was his first words, "Where's Dad?" His last words before he went to sleep, "Where's Dad?" And you know the crazy thing is, as long as he was walking with me, he never got an ounce of trouble. You got it. Praise the Lord. We're gaining speed. As long as he was holding my hand and walking with me, he didn't get an ounce of trouble. It's the instant he decided he could do it on his own that the troubles began. It's a great word. Can you brag on others? Can you rejoice when others have something good happen in their life? Or do you get jealous because you've been believing for that for 3 years and they've only been believing for it for 3 months? Paul says, can we be concerned about the needs of others and not just our own needs? That's a sign of love, that you care about other people. We live in a very, very selfish culture right now. It's all about them and what they can accomplish And they don't care who they step on, who they hurt in the process. It's getting to the top of the mountain. What's sad is when you live that way, when you get to the mountain, you're all by yourself. If I get to the top of any mountain, I want to have people with me. It slows me down, but it's a lot more fun. Luke 7:47 says, a sign of walking in God's love is the ability to forgive. The ability to forgive. Now, I have to teach on forgiveness a little bit every time I share this, because when I ask people how they will know they have forgiven someone, they always have two answers, and both of them are wrong. One is, I will forget what they did to me. The other one is, I won't have this icky feeling when I see them. But I can nix that in one fell swoop. Jesus said at the cross, when he was nailed to the cross, having been beaten, stripes put on his back, he didn't even look human. And he says, Father, forgive them. Do you think he suddenly forgot how he got there? How did I get here? Do you think he had an ooey-gooey feeling? Oh, just love. No, he was in pain. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is actually a legal term meaning to pardon. This is Lee's water. They told me it was. Let's say in Lee's world, if you steal my water, you lose your left hand. So Dustin gets caught leaving the sanctuary. I'm going to pick on Dustin. He deserves it. He's leaving the sanctuary. He's got my water. So he gets caught by the security. You stole Lee's water. What's the price for stealing the water? He loses his left hand. So they bring him up here. They get the sword ready. They put his hand on this chair. The sword starts to come down and Will busts through the door. Pastor Will says, wait, wait. He's been pardoned. Guess what? Will didn't say he didn't steal my water. He got caught with my water. Will didn't say he wasn't deserving of losing his left hand. That's the law. What he said was he gets to keep his left hand. He's been pardoned. When you and I choose to forgive somebody, we pardon them. And we believe that God is smarter than we are and that God will deal with it justly, because we will not deal with it justly. Can I let you in on something? You don't make a very good God. I don't make a very good God. Sometimes I don't make a very good Christ-like one, but certainly not a God. He gets to keep his left hand because he was pardoned. Has nothing to do with my feelings. Has nothing to do with my forgetting. It has everything to do with my choice. Because I've been forgiven. In Luke, where I quoted Luke 7:47, Jesus said, he who has been forgiven much loves much. You see how love and forgiveness are connected? Most of us have a hard time loving unconditionally because we just don't understand how much we've been forgiven of. I remember being a drug addict and an alcoholic. I remember being unable to get out of that on my own. I remember hearing that God could help me and crying out to God, and God supernaturally delivered me. Supernaturally took it all away. Now, anger, different deal. Anger I've been working on since the day I got saved, but God's doing a work in my life. I hope he's doing a work in your life. Forgiveness comes because I understand how much I've been forgiven. Not just the things I did, but even the thoughts I had. See, some of us have been far enough along in this thing, we think we're doing pretty good. I got this Christianity thing down. And then the light turns green. And that person doesn't go. And your first thought is, bless them, Lord. Right? Yeah. We fool ourselves sometimes. We all are on a path. None of us have arrived. Some of us have left, but nobody's arrived. Forgiveness is motivated by understanding God's incredible love for you and I. It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Not condemning them to hell, but sharing with them God's goodness to them and God's extended hand to them and forgiving them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, if we understand God's love, we will have confidence, boldness to come into his presence. Do you know why I'm up here? See, some of you think I'm up here because I sin less than you. Oh, I know some of you are thinking, you mean you don't? No, here's the thing. I probably don't sin as much as others. That's not it. I'm up here because God loves me. I'm up here because I said yes. How many of you are old enough to remember Horshack on Welcome Back, Kotter? The rest of you Google it. Horshack was this geeky kid who was just not too sharp. I'm Horshack, man. Mr. Cotter. I'm not better than anybody else. I just outlasted everybody. They lovingly introduced me because I was with Victory before Dwayne was at Victory. So they lovingly introduced me as the oldest thing at the camp. I don't know if that's an honor or not, but I am. I was used by God. I have confidence to go into his presence, not because I'm sinless, but because I've been forgiven. I have confidence because I know God's love for me. God loved me and you while we were yet sinners. When you still cussed in his name, when you didn't want anything to do with him, when you were making fun of Christians, Christ died for you. How much more, the Bible says, can he love you now? I'm going to be real, real vulnerable. I've got a child that didn't want my love. He didn't want it. I loved him as much as I loved any of our children, but he did not want it. Every now and again, he would let down his guard and let me love him. And we had wonderful times when he would let down his facade of toughness and all those things. And I realized in that moment, that's exactly how God is towards us. That he always wants to love us, but we got to let him. We got to let down our guard. We got to stop pretending we've got it all. I got this. No. You let go of the Father's hand, you headed for trouble. Right? These are signs that we're understanding God's love. Let me give you a really, really good one. I know y'all are rocking at this. Love your enemies. How you doing with that? Listen, the Lord showed me something, and I want to share it with you. That you'll never do for those you don't love if you won't first do for those you do love. I hate weed eating. Is there anybody who hates weed eating? I hate weed eating. The only thing I hate worse than weed eating is having to fix the weed eater before I can weed eat. It's terrible. Just set the grass on fire. It'd be better. It'd be easier. But I have someone who I love dearly, and I wanted this individual to know I'm for you. I've got your back. I will do anything for you. And the Lord said to me, go weed his lawn. I said, yes, Lord. And so I got my weed eater out, and I'm not weeding with this little bitty stringy thing. I got this chainsaw on a round disc. It's a man's piece of equipment. I mean, you can cut down trees with it. Just plow through it. So I'm out there, and I'm cutting this stuff. I'm just happy as I can be doing what I hate because I want and I understand. I'm showing this individual I love them. And the Lord spoke to me then. That's when he told me, if you won't do what you don't like for those you love, you will never do what you don't like for those you don't love. We have to exercise the muscles. We have to, you're getting it. We have to exercise our muscles in love. I don't like taking out the trash, but I love my wife. Oh, you didn't get it. I don't like the movies, but I love my wife. You women, you may not like fishing, but do you love your husband? Yeah, okay. We need to increase our intake of God's love because we can't give out what we don't have until you understand God loved you when you yet hated him. You will never understand the depths of God's love for you. And you can't give out that kind of love if you haven't received it. The truth of the matter is, you and I, however we treat people, that's actually how we believe. That's the depth of our understanding of God's love. It is God's love that makes us one. Only in the body of Christ are rich and poor gathered together. Black and white gathered together. OU, OSU. I'm telling you, I have an OU shirt because my son was in the hospital more than he was out. He had 26 heart surgeries before he passed. He's only 20 years old. He spent a whole lot of time at the OU Medical. And the OU players would come by. He has a helmet signed by the OU players, a football signed by the OU players. On and on it went. If I wear my OU shirt, it is out of respect for my son. But I can get in more trouble wearing that shirt than I can a Trump shirt or a Jesus Saves shirt. It's just not right. It's just not right. Only in Christ is the love of God shed abroad in such a way that the drug addict and the policeman can sit on the same row. It is God that makes us one. Jesus prayed in John 17, 21, Lord, that they be one, like you and I are one, I and you and me. How many of you know Jesus gets his prayers answered? We are one. And the best way we can understand that is in marriage. In Ephesians 5, he talks about being married. And the two becoming one flesh. Only in marriage can we have this understanding that I'm still me, she's still her, but we are one. That's the way the body of Christ is. We are one, even though we are individuals. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, there's one body, but many members. You are a part of the church with a 2,000-year history. You are connected to them. You are one with them. They are not complete with us without us, and we are not complete without them. We are the body of Christ historically for thousands of years. You are a part of the church, the big C church around the world. I've been in Uganda and preached, and the body of Christ is the same. They accepted me as a brother in the kingdom. It doesn't matter where you go. We are one big church. We are connected together. But you are also one church of the multiple churches of Victory Life Church. We have one church, 10 locations, plus the internet. And I want to share with you, I have really, really been proud of this body. When Pastor Will lost his daughter, I watched how this body responded. And can I say proud? Is that can I use that? I was so proud of how the body came together and supported, dropped what they were doing. How can I help? How can I serve? Begin to pray, begin to seek the Lord to give comfort. It was so beautiful. It was a tragic time. But I want to challenge you. If you were not changed because of that tragedy, that is a greater tragedy. Do you know why we do funerals? To remind us we're mortal. To honor the individual's life. To remind us we all have an expiration date. to help us enjoy the time we have left, because every minute is a gift from God. And I watch the body of Christ surround that family. I watched as they begin to worship God in the midst of the sorrow and watch God's presence show up. But I want to tell you the rest of the story, because many of you are not there. This is not a single body on its own. You are a part of a larger church. And at the instant we were told about this situation, I once again got to see the body of Christ function like it's supposed to function. I was in a meeting with all the other resident pastors of all the other locations we have and some of the other leaders. And when we got the phone call, it was as if it was their child. People began to pray. People began to reach out. Pastor after pastor said, "What can I do to serve Pastor Will and that body?" Prayers went out. Thousands of people got on board and began to lift this situation up and believe God for his comfort. It's because we are connected by God. We have many members, but one body. Now let me ask you something. You got to go listen faster. If I cut off this finger, my whole body goes to try to mend it and fix it. Why? It's a part of me. My wife and I are so much one, I get a headache, she takes an aspirin. We are one, and I watch the body of Christ function as one. I watch people lay down their agendas, lay down their own things that they were going to do. What can we do? You know why? We're one. And when you hurt, we hurt. And when you rejoice, we rejoice. I love the fact that when people ask me, "Do you know of a church in the area of Stillwater that I can go to?" I can smile and say, "Yes." And I know they will be accepted, no matter what they wear, no matter their color, no matter their financial status. I know they are going to be welcomed. Why? We are one. It is really encouraging for me, because there are some places that I can go to their church. I can't say that about them, because if you don't dress just right, you're not welcomed, and you know it. I love the fact that I can encourage people to come here, and I know without a shadow of a doubt they are going to be loved. God makes that happen. We can't do that on our own. It is the Spirit of God helping us to reach out to people. Because Paul said, we were like that, but we've forgotten we were like that. Many people have been in the Christian realm so long, they have forgotten what it's like to be outside of the family of God. Let me tell you what it's like. It's lonely. And it's fearful. I don't care what your political status is. I really don't care. We have a king, and that's who I care about. I want to be a servant to the king, and he has an agenda. I'm going to stick with his agenda. I don't care who's elected. God's going to work it all out. Have you read your Bible? There were people a whole lot worse than what we have now running the countries at different times. I know you don't believe that, but it's true. God's love. I am out of time and I cannot believe it. Let me leave you with this thought. We in America, we do not like the idea of something being broken. And if it's broken, we want it fixed, and we want it fixed quickly, and it needs to be cheap, and it needs to be unseen. It's called super glue. But in the kingdom of God, there's an art called kintsugi. And kintsugi, spelled K-U-N-T-G-I, kintsugi, it is the art of the golden glue. And in that art, a vessel that is broken is brought back, and they take the pieces and they glue them together with golden glue. And they have this thought and idea that I think is beautiful. That instead of trying to hide the brokenness of the vessel, they actually accentuate it. And the golden glue makes the vessel stronger and more beautiful, and it makes it even better. You're in my brokenness. We shouldn't be trying to hide it. We should be sharing how God glued us back, how God healed our broken hearts. Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, and then I'm closing. The God of all comfort, he comforts us so that we may be able to comfort others also with the same comfort we ourselves were comforted with. Now, because I'm in the South, that's a whole lot of Southern comfort. It's just the right kind of Southern comfort. Beloved, I was an alcoholic and a drug addict. My marriage was a mess. My wife and I fought all the time like cats and dogs. And I have a beautiful marriage, beautiful children. I have a wonderful life. But it's because of the love of God. It's because God loved me when I didn't love him. And I take that. The chains that used to hold me bound, I now throw into the ditch and drag people out. It is that brokenness that shows the beauty of God to step into a situation and make it whole. I've asked Haley to come sing this song, and I want to end with us singing the song, and then when she's through, if you have any need, you can come to the front and let the prayer warriors pray for you. Haley.
Pastor Lee said, literally started off by saying, just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's shallow. So this is probably familiar to you, but we still sing it over our children because it's true. Jesus loves me, this I